The following program is sponsored by Disciples Pathway Ministries.
Welcome to Disciples Pathway Ministries, a mobile ministry with Minister Robbie E. Lilly. Disciples Pathway Ministry is a mobile ministry advancing the kingdom of God so that no one is left behind when Jesus Christ, our King of Kings, returns for his great church.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, family. It is such a wonderful blessing, as always, to be back in your presence, to be in the presence of our Father, to be at his table, to dine with our Lord, to come get all the great things and the vast things and the lovely things and the promised things that he has for us, oh family. And I hope that you're having a blessed day and a blessed evening or a blessed morning, whatever time you're hearing this. I hope that it is blessing, that this time blesses you as you hear what the Spirit has gave utterance of. My mother always sends you her love. She always sends you her prayers. She's always thinking about you all and cannot wait to return. And we hope that you are praying for our family as we are praying for you all as well. Well, family, it's just an exciting time here at Disciple Pathway Ministries as we're in the midst of a series. Now, last week we had an intermission due to the blessed resurrection, and we got into that message and things. But now we're back on track with our To Be Fruitful series. We are here at in part four, phase four, if you will, and it's just an exciting time. We're talking about God's construction of man for fruitfulness and his instruction of man to be fruitful and multiply. We got into the early parts of this message by laying the groundwork and getting an understanding of seed time and harvest and, you know, how God does things in an orderly fashion, how before the seed gets there, the field has to be prepared, and there has to be a tilling, and there has to be a watering, there has to be a seeing too in order for the seed to get there. And then when the seed gets there, it has to take root, and it has to go down deep before it is groundbreaking and yields forth its fruit. And we are talking about these specific seeds of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, over in Galatians. And these fruits are only produced under certain conditions, just like certain plants are only going to grow and thrive in certain environments. These fruits are only going to grow and thrive in certain environments. And so we're just, again, just taking a deep dive into that which it takes to produce the fruit of the Spirit. But before we get into all that, let us pray. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the life that you've given us. Father God, our prayer here and now is for knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, oh Father God, that you will bring us into all these things, oh Father God, that we may draw closer unto you as you're drawing closer unto us, oh Father God. We renounce all distractions. We ask that anything that is to take us away from this moment be removed, oh Father God, and that we will come into the expression of your glory, oh Father God. Lord, how we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's the keynote scripture, Galatians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Thank you, Father God, for the reading of your word. So in our last message, part three, we talked about the fruits of joy, peace, and long suffering. Joy. This fruit can only be produced under the condition of stress. Peace, this fruit can only be conditioned under warlike circumstances. Long suffering, it can only be conditioned by one's ability to stay. So in continuance, we arrive to the fruit of kindness. Kindness. This fruit probably is the least difficult to produce. However, it is paramount that it is produced. The reason for a lower difficulty is because we've already been equipped to express that of kindness. As a matter of fact, it is very unnatural for a man not to bear this fruit. See as how the highest level of humanitarianism is the regard of mankind. We were created for kindness. We were created with kindness attached to us. So just by human nature, kindness is a feature. Whether we use it or not, the level of what we use it or not, to the reason that we use it or not, to the producing of the fruit of whether we use it or not, that's completely on us as individuals. But we all have this ability to be that of kind. Let's look at the word kind. The root in there is kin, i.e. he is our kinsman redeemer. He's come and salvation is opportune for everybody, but those who receive of it shows themselves as kin to him because he was so kind to us. The reason that this is less difficult is because, again, kind means family. It's in regards to family. So this kindness is typically expressed at the most earliest stages as children and babes to our family. This fruit is max potent, however. This fruit is max potent amongst the adversary. We learn to use it with our mother and with our father and with our siblings, of course. Hey, be nice to your brother. Be nice to your sister, you nice to your cousin, you're respectful to your uncles, aunts, our grandparents. We exercise kindness amongst a village of people who love us and adore us and see to us, family and familiar places. But as we get older and we start to come in contact with friends and other relationships and things, and as we come in contact with the enemy, this fruit is max potent amongst the adversary. Write this, family. The fruit of kindness can only be produced under the condition of mercy. The fruit of kindness can only be produced under the condition of mercy. Luke chapter 6, verses 33 through 36 says, "And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is you to that? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." Just as your father, just as your kindred is also merciful. We come from our Father, so we have our Father's feature of mercy. If mercy is not upon your lips, if mercy is not within the work of thy hands, family, you are of no relation to the Father in heaven. You are in no relation to the Lord God. For he is familiar with, or family with, that of his mercy. That's why he says, "With the same mercy that you show, I'll show. With the same mercy that you familiarize yourself with, I'll familiarize myself with in regards to you. Because if there is no mercy, I am of no relation. Because I am the God who judges righteously, and mercy will triumph in judgment." Yeah, family. We're victorious by mercy in judgment. We have no fear in judgment because mercy is there, family. Those who hope in his mercy, not the strength of a horse, but those who hope in his mercy, not chariots, not your bank account, not your possessions, not your work, not your skill, not your own labor, not your understanding, not your family, not your friends, not your ability to parent, not how handsome you are, not how beautiful you are, how sharp, how cunning, how wise you, but who hope in his mercy. But family, I must warn you, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of his creatures. that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That is James chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. We must be aware of those who try to lure you in by the hybrid fruit of kindness. What is a hybrid fruit? If you notice these days, you can find fruits such as grapes and oranges and watermelons. You can find those fruits in the store. Those hybrid fruits are found without seed. These are fruits that are grown that have no seed. This is very unnatural because all seed, the reason it is defined as a fruit is because it has a seed in its center, in its matrix, in its middle. But now you can find fruit without seed. Yeah, it tastes good. You don't have to worry about the spitting of the watermelon seed as you eat of it, but it is still but a hybrid. It is a replica. So we got to be careful with those who are replicating kindness, who are using it for a deceptive nature. Next fruit, goodness. We must taste of this fruit to know that he is God. We must taste of the fruit of goodness to know that he is God. Many have become reliant upon others to experience the fruit of goodness. I'll explain that further. I'll go deeper into that. Like kindness, this fruit is highly utilized in deception of the enemy, I must warn. I.e., people have become church hurt, wounded by they who speak healing, but at war with you. You have put your trust in they who say they have come in peace, but are at war with you. Again, speak healing, but are the first to wound you. Because we expected to experience goodness, the goodness of God, but have been let down and disappointed. We've all been in this place before. But the psalmist invites us and says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste of him for yourself, family. Taste of the Lord for yourself to know that he is good. So that when you come across various entities, organizations, peoples, relationships, opportunities, circumstances, you may know the goodness of the Lord. You may have familiarized yourself with the goodness of the Lord, that the taste of the Lord, even in a blind taste testing, you can know what it is that's God. Even blinded of eyes, I know an apple from an orange from a watermelon from a grape. I'll know a God who is rich in favor from an enemy. In a stranger's voice, I would not hearken unto you. Write this down, family. The fruit of goodness can only be produced under the condition of judgment. Specifically speaking, righteous judgment. The fruit of goodness can only be produced under the condition of righteous judgment. Let's go back to the garden here. The word garden, again, means court. If you break it down to its Semitic roots, into his natural roots, it means court. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. What is it? The court, the garden, the law, the garden, the statutes, the commands, his ordinance, his judgments. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. This is Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. Man at this point was to be a witness of God's goodness. Man at this point was a witness, not a defendant. He became a defendant after he ate of the fruit that he was instructed not to eat of. But we were never meant to be defendants. Thank God for Jesus that he came as a paralegal, as a propitiator, as our representation, as our good lawyer. But we were never intended to need a lawyer. We were intended to be witnesses of God's goodness. So, now that man has surely died, the verdict and the offense of sin had been rendered to us. This is the power of evil, even in the midst of all that is good. It's why we oftentimes have need to recall the good that people do for us, but we vividly remember the wrongs, even if there are very few wrongs against us. It's like a red Kool-Aid stain on a white t-shirt. And no matter how nice the white polo is, if you spill some, even a drop of red Kool-Aid, people going to be looking, they'll be having a conversation with you and still looking at that stain on your shirt. You can drop one grain of salt into a glass of purified water, and that salt and that water is no longer H2O, but it's salt water. Just one grain of salt changes the whole solution of the water. And that's one drop of evil amongst all that is good, which is why God had to vacate them out of the garden. Because all that is good is God, and all that is God is good. And the thing about it, family, evil renders trauma. See, good, we just keep rolling with. If times are good, we just keep rolling with the good times. If circumstances are good, we just keep surrounding ourselves with the good circumstances. If people are good, they're going to keep getting the phone calls and the attention of that of us because they are good. Good just keeps rolling. It just tastes good. We just can't get enough of it. Just like that one potato chip that turned into 20 and 30 and then the whole bag. But the thing about evil renders trauma that affects our decisions making. It affects our decision making both consciously and subconsciously. Yeah, family, just good and evil run deep. But evil has a profound power and effect, which is why Jesus had to come deal with it. He had to come snatch the keys. And now we can ask the question, oh, death, where is thy sting? Where is the taunt of the grave? This is why Jesus calls us to prioritize our eyes in judgment. He calls us to prioritize our eyesight, or where we fix our eyes, in judgment. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the court of the king. Seek first the garden of the king. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, his judgments, his goodness. The next fruit, family, faithfulness. Faithfulness. This fruit will put you to the test continually. One must be willing to stand trial for this fruit to come to fruition. But we cannot wait till we get to trial. We cannot wait till we're standing before the judge. We cannot wait till we get to the court in order to produce this evidence, to have this witness, and to have this testimony of faithfulness. This fruit's potency varies person to person. It's dependent upon how it grows and where it grows. Yet still, its potency will be proven and valued in accordance to. Write this, family. The fruit of faithfulness can only be produced under the condition of obedience. Yeah. The fruit of faithfulness can only be produced under the condition of obedience. Yeah, we all need to take a pause there. Because we know that it's something that God has told us to do. Things that we ought to be doing, things that we're going to need to be doing, and whether we do it or not, that is a whole different story. I'm guilty of it. And if you're being honest, family, you've been guilty of it. But our ability to obey determines the potency of this fruit of faithfulness. The Bible says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, again, verse 14 through 17. Your ability to obey is determined by your ability to hear. And your ability to hear is determined by your exposure to the word of God. A trained ear, family. A trained ear comes from a discipled heart. You'll catch that on the way home. A trained ear comes from a discipled heart. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. due to the commission that the gospel is to go to the four corners of the earth, everyone will have the opportunity to produce this fruit. Now, to the multiplication of which you produce this fruit, it's on you. To one servant, he gave five. To another servant, he gave three. And to the last servant, he gave one. And each one of these servants came back with a produce of a different amount. But God, who is righteous in judgment, who judges just with justice, he gave unto them the reward. So God has measured to each one of us faith, as he is written, as the word says. He has measured to each one of us faith. So we will all have the opportunity to produce that of this fruit. So only then will God be pleased and grace us with the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He who was, who is, and who is to come. Because when his word goes out to the four corners of the earth, then he will make his return. Then we will be graced with his presence. Then God will say, okay, it's my pleasure that I may come and make myself known to all of creation, both heaven, earth, and all that is underneath the earth. And now, family, as we hasten to a close, the fruit of gentleness. This fruit requires awareness. You must have a sensitivity to that of the supernatural. You must have such a sensitivity to that of the supernatural and the natural alike. The presence or absence of this fruit determines how you will handle people, places, things, situations, circumstances, finances, thoughts of the past, that which persists in the present, and the unknowns of future tomorrows. In the Paulinian letter to Philippi, it is written, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." If this fruit is in your garden, then Yah himself is there with you in your garden. If this fruit is being produced in the garden of your heart, then Yah himself is in that garden of your heart for others to encounter him through you. This is a different level, family. This is a different level of advancement leading into maturity. If one begins to harvest this fruit, Jesus is showing up to your garden. Oh yeah, Jesus liked this fruit. This fruit can run all over your life. Write this down, family. The fruit of gentleness can only be produced under the condition of humility. We need the possession of humility. The humility is a necessity to produce this fruit. Let's define humility. It's the state of being of the earth. The state of being dirt, lowly, little, and insignificant. It is a fight against the pedestal of acknowledgement, accolades, and appraisal we seek to put upon ourselves. The psalmist says, For he who knows how we are formed, he remembers that we are dust. But family, do we remember that we are dust? It's a dichotomy of power, family. The insignificant thing is the most significant thing in your life. The insignificant thing is the most significant thing in your life, and is going to give your life meaning. After all, you and I, we are just dirt. But what does a seed need? Dirt. All the seed sees is an opportunity and what everything else walks over. So if you thought that your life was meaningless and less than, know that he who is greater than can use you. Has he not offered the seed of his spirit unto us by the sacrifice of his only begotten? And if you are ready, family, to receive of that seed, please pray this prayer after me. Lord, I am a sinner in need of a savior. I believe you hung, bled, and died in my place. You, the Son of God, then rose and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord Jesus, you are welcome in this place of my heart. May your spirit never depart. Receive me as I received you in this day. In your holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Family, it's been a pleasure. And until next time, one voice, I speak life.
Thanks for listening to Disciples Pathway Ministries with Minister Robbie E. Lilly. Thanks for your prayers and for your gifts to his great work of God. For booking and requests for services, look up Disciples Pathway Ministries on Facebook. That's Disciples Pathway Ministries on Facebook.